Candace Shively, water savings associated with evapotranspiration-based irrigation scheduling. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So today I'm going to talk about a project that started in 2014 and involved the installation of three smart controllers in Cedar City, Utah, two at city parks and one at a school district. So during an irrigation training for city employees, it came up that none of the controllers within the city parks have any smart capabilities. They're all pretty basic. And because of that, it would take one employee an entire day to travel around through all the sites to adjust the irrigation controllers. And that wasn't something that was really feasible for them to do, and I don't think it's a very unusual situation for a lot of city park situations. So because of that, the irrigation controllers, the schedules aren't being adjusted as frequently as they should be throughout the irrigation season, and they're not being turned off during rain events, which doesn't really sit well with the public. So I talked to the water district, and they agreed to fund a pilot project. So we installed these three controllers at, again, two city parks and one of our schools. So we sat down with the city and the school district to kind of identify locations and go over some of our goals. And it was a fairly basic project. Our main goal was to hopefully show some water savings and hopefully enough water savings to justify future upgrades to systems within the city and the school district, and then hopefully have the city pay for those upgrades instead of the water district. So we went with a Weathermatic SmartLine Irrigation Controller. It has a web interface, so changes can be made from your desktop. It also has a smart phone app or smart tablet app, so you can make adjustments in the field. Each site had its own on-site weather station, as well as a flow sensor that was on the main irrigation line. So the three sites are located in Cedar City, Utah. We're at an elevation of about 5,800 feet. It's a very arid, dry, cool night. This humidity here in Florida is not something we experience in Utah. Our annual precipitation is about 10 to 11 inches during our six-month growing season, during the entire year. 5 to 6 of that comes during our growing season, which is about mid-April to mid-October. Our reference evapotranspiration rate's right around 38 inches. Most of the turf that we grow is cool season turf, usually Kentucky bluegrass varieties. Assuming those need about 80% of that reference ET, it puts our turf need right around 30 inches during the growing season. So our three sites, we have the elementary school up in the northern part of the map there, and then the two parks towards the bottom. This is a little deceiving. These sites are at most maybe 7 miles apart, so they're all pretty close in proximity. So looking at the elementary school first, total turf area is just under 5 acres. And what we did is we pulled water use data for the 3 years prior to the start of the project just to kind of develop a baseline for water usage so we could compare pre and post installation of controllers. And so what you're looking at here is the over-application rate. We have inches on the side. The zero is the turf water need. So we're assuming the cool season turf grass, we took the ET, the reference ET, about 80% of that for the turf, and then minus that our precipitation. And then we also assumed about a 70% irrigation efficiency. So I feel like we were pretty fair in our water use estimates for these three sites. So you can see at this school, they were over-irrigating by about 11 inches on an annual basis, which compared to the next site isn't terrible, but when you consider that's 5 acres, that adds up pretty quick. So after the controllers were installed, we reduced that usage by about 6 inches on an annual basis. You'll notice that in 2015, we had a little bit of a spike. What happened there is they had to do some construction and remove some turf and then reinstall some turf and reestablish it. So that kind of contributed to that increase there. I also want to note that the controllers went in 2014, about late July. So we have about half a season with the controllers installed in 2014, and then 15 and 16 were full season. So we did fairly well with this site. For this next site, this was interesting to pull this water use data. It's a little deceiving. If you notice on this chart, the max is 14 inches, and on this chart, the max is 100 inches. This site had a little bit of a problem before we got there. Their estimated overusage was around 78 extra inches being applied each year compared to what was needed. After the controllers were installed, we docked that quite a bit. We got them down to about 10 to 11 inches of over-application, so that was a fairly good reduction. Also happy with that site. This was our final site, just over half an acre. This was an interesting, nothing's ever perfect, right? This was our interesting site. So they were fairly close to applying the actual water need of the turf. This is a shadier site compared to the others, so that does definitely needs to be taken into account when looking at the turf water need. For consistency purposes and the simplicity of this with working with city council and such, we just kept everything the same and just used the same baseline for all the sites. But I wanted to point that out because that would definitely affect that negative 6 inches that was applied in 2012, which didn't tend to really affect the turf health. So I just wanted to make that clear. So at this site, at our other two sites, we did a really great job of reducing usage without having a negative impact on the overall turf quality. At this site, we reduced the water usage, but we also decreased the overall quality of the turf grass, which was not our goal. So what happened here, most of this was pressure related. All of the sites had a flow sensor, and for some reason, the pressure at this site fluctuates quite a bit. We had a really hard time calibrating the flow sensor. And so when we had days of just kind of average or low flow, everything was fine, but we'd get a high flow day and the entire system would shut down thinking that there was a leak, which was not quite what we wanted. So it took us a while to figure that out. Once we did, we were able to kind of mess with our threshold for that flow sensor and get that fixed. But that still didn't fix the pressure problem. So there's quite a bit of work that needed to be done at this park. And while this wasn't really the ideal outcome, it did kind of bring to light some issues with their pressure that they're in the process of fixing now. So looking at these three parks together, just to kind of put everything in perspective, Ridge Park is the orange. That was the extremely over-irrigated piece. And then the other two are the other blue colors. Just kind of the overall summary. So over the 2.5 years, we saved about 5.7 million gallons of water at the three sites, and that translates into about $5,000 in cost savings. The controllers themselves cost us about $4,800, so the payoff was right around 2.5 years, which we were pretty happy with. The city parks manager was really great to work with, and he took this information to his latest budget hearing, and the city approved a $100,000 increase to his budget to get going on the other parks to get these increases made. So overall, I would consider this project a success, and I was pretty happy with it. And I know we're kind of short on time, so I don't know if there's time for questions. Kind of ran through that quick.